The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, if he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, everyone who sees it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build, but was not able to finish.' Or what king, as he goes out to confront another king in war, will not first sit down and consider if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? And if he is not able, he sends out a delegation and asks for terms of peace while his opponent is still far away. So then, any one of you who does not say farewell to all of his own possessions cannot be my disciple. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how will it become salty again? If it is not fit for the soil or for the manure pile, it is thrown away. The one who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When introductions are made on Wheel of Fortune, Pat Sajak asks the contestants about two things. He asks them about their family, and then he also asks them about their job. A person's family and a person's livelihood are very important for who we are. In our gospel reading, Jesus seems to attack both of these sources of our identity. And our identity is precious to us. Jesus makes us choose between being his disciple or holding on to our identity. Jesus says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." There's Pat's question about our families. Jesus also has something to say about our livelihoods. Any one of you who does not say farewell to all his own possessions cannot be my disciple. Let me add a word here about this word that is translated as possessions. That word is actually much larger than just money or property. A more literal translation might go something like this: any one of you who does not say farewell to his own being or existence cannot be my disciple. Jesus is laying claim to all of us, our entire being. Another thing he says in our reading is, "Whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." This strikes us as being very negative. And there are some very negative words, like hate and say farewell and carry your cross. The other side of it, of course, is the possibility of being Jesus' disciple. We hardly ever think of that. The goodness of being a disciple of Jesus must be such that these very important and precious things in life are not the highest good. The one thing that cannot be dispensed with is being Jesus' disciple. Everything else can go. a rock-solid conclusion that we must draw from Jesus' words is that there is no such thing as a casual Christian. A casual Christian will never put up with such demands. If there is a conflict between family and faith, family comes first. But what Jesus is saying is that such a one is not his disciple. Or what if a person's job makes demands upon a Christian that the Christian cannot agree with in good conscience? If you will not say farewell to your livelihood, you cannot be his disciple. This is very useful to know in our day, because you certainly aren't going to hear anything like this from anywhere else. The widespread assumption is that being a casual Christian is perfectly acceptable. If ever a conflict arises between being a Christian and familial obligations, or in order to get a good grade, or to keep your job, or even recreation commitments, all these other things not only can come first, but probably should come first. We tend not to think anything of this. But if we were to think about it, what we would realize is that this is actually a very powerful confession that we are making by our actions. When everything else in the world comes first, and being a faithful disciple is only when it is convenient, you're making a confession before the world and before God about where your loyalties lie. On the other hand, so-called fanaticism or so-called extremism in popular understanding is when commitments toward God are allowed to have an impact on how you live your life. In popular understanding, this is very strange, very bad. Over the past 20 years or so, a lot of villains in TV crime shows have been screwy Christians who aren't like the rest of the population. They can't be trusted because you don't know how they're going to act. The rest of the population, they all know what life is for. Life is for making money and spending money. Duh. Anybody who doesn't have that as the purpose for their life is strange and dangerous. And so these can be TV villains. I can almost imagine one of those TV villains quoting Jesus after doing something dastardly to his family. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This reading, therefore, is very useful in the sense that it can teach us something that we don't already know or already believe. Our people are so much more thoroughly catechized by what they learn from TV than anything they learn from the Bible or from church. Everybody already believes that family has to come first, and then the job, and then the cabin, and then, if there's time and out of the goodness of one's own heart, we'll offer the leftovers of our life to Jesus. And he should be grateful that we are such good people that we offer him even that. That, I would say, is the widespread mentality. So when Jesus says that you must hate your family and say farewell to the life that you imagine you've created for yourself, if you want to be his disciple, this totally blows out of the water the thinking that we otherwise might have. Discipleship to Jesus is higher and holier, and we must not toss it aside for even the best and the most wholesome that this life can offer. Wherever Jesus leads, we will follow. That's what it means to be a disciple. A disciple follows the Master. Therefore, we should count the cost. Jesus says, "For which of you, if he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, everyone who sees it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build, but he was not able to finish.' Or what king, as he goes out to confront another king in war, will not first sit down and consider if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? And if he's not able, he sends out a delegation and asks for terms of peace while his opponent is still far away. If you are only going to give the leftovers of your life to God, then you might as well not even give him that. If you were going to build a tower with what you have laying around at your house or in your garage, that's going to be a pretty pathetic and ugly tower. You might as well not even build it, because it probably isn't going to be worth anything anyway. So also, casual discipleship isn't worth anything either. In the life to come, casual disciples of Jesus will look stupid. They'll say, "Look, that fellow thought he was a Christian, and he never followed Jesus." Either you are his disciple, or you are not. There is no halfway. Either you are looking for Jesus to take you to himself, or you are making the most of this life. If you are making the most of this life, then you will never be willing to sacrifice anything that you really care about, because that will decrease your quality of life. The best that can ever be hoped for are the leftovers. Maybe you'll use the stuff that you have lying around, but you certainly aren't going to go out and buy materials with the money that you could otherwise use to increase your standard of living. The way it is now is the way it was at Jesus' time, and vice versa. At the beginning of our reading, it says, large crowds were traveling together with Jesus. The fact that there was a large crowd seems to be what provoked Jesus to say that the cost of being his disciple is very high. And true to Jesus' words, this large crowd melted away. They ended up being unfaithful. In each one of the individual lives of this crowd, something happened where they quit following Jesus. We don't know what those things were. For one person, it was this, and for another person, it was that. Maybe some of them even followed him all the way to the cross, but they couldn't believe in the resurrection. And so it goes also with us. One person never even learns that being a disciple of Jesus requires anything more than possessing the tiniest nugget of information about him, as though that's enough. A better informed person tries to be his disciple by learning from him, receiving his sacrament, attending church, but the cares and pleasures of this life draws him away. There are other things he'd rather do with his time than hear Jesus say the kind of stuff that he says in our reading today. Another person continues on as a Christian until he's forced to choose between doing what is right and doing what is easy or appears to be loving or seems profitable. Like the three kinds of soil in Jesus' parable about the sowing of the seed, the call to be Jesus' disciple comes to nothing. But it might not seem that way to the persons that I've described. Maybe in their mind, their tower's fine that they've built with the leftovers of their life. Maybe they even still come to church. But all they're doing is honoring God with their lips. Their hearts are far from Him. This is where Jesus' words can be very helpful to you. Don't deceive yourself about the nature of being Christ's disciple. If you are not willing to be faithful to Jesus rather than being pleasing to your family, then don't pretend that you're Jesus' disciple. If you won't say farewell to the quality of your life so that you can be a disciple of Jesus, then you better keep all of that for yourself and you better enjoy it before this life ends. But if you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then dedicate yourself to Him anew today. Jesus says in another place, "Truly, I tell you that no one who has left home or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, as well as persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Note how Jesus says that when we have left behind things for the gospel, that we already receive in this life 100 times as much. We have brothers and sisters and children with our fellow believers. We have a home with God. We have a field in which we may work. Jesus does say that there are also persecutions. This is not some unrealistic fantasy, but persecutions are never as bad as the devil would have you believe that they are. And then, in the age to come, we will receive everlasting life. Jesus' words in our gospel reading today can sound horribly negative, and they always and forever will sound horribly negative to every scoffing unbeliever. But you know this about Jesus. Jesus is not stingy. He has not come to take good things away from you, but bad things away from you. Idolatry, impiety, covetousness. These things hamper life much more than we realize. Instead, as Jesus says in another place, "I have come so that they may have life and so that they may have it more abundantly." With a new life in Jesus, with the forgiveness of all your sins, you are entering ever more fully into life if you continue as His disciple. As He burns off the dross, purifying you, He makes you strong to enter into eternal life where love is all in all. This is something that can never happen casually. It involves heat and pressure on us, bringing about a transformation. Jesus never means evil for us, His disciples, only good. But we have to trust Him for that. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.